Susan regarded me quietly for a moment while I stared at my drink. "Harry," she said finally, "you going to open that or just look at it?" I shook my head and popped the tab on the can. My wrists felt sore, and the skin around them had been pretty thoroughly abraded. Evidently, Nicodemus preferred regular old ropes to special unicorn mane custom jobs. "Sorry, got a lot to think about." "Yeah," she said, her own voice softening. "What's our next move?" I checked the candles, 3 to go. "Barrier will go down in maybe 20 minutes. We'll call a cab, pick up the beetle at McAnally's, and head to Michael's place."
"What if the Denarians are waiting outside for us?"
I picked up my blasting rod from the stand in the corner by the door and twirled it around in my fingers.
"They'll have to find their own cab."
"And then?" I picked up my staff and leaned it against the wall by the door.
"We tell Michael and Sonya what happened."
"Assuming they're back."
"Uh-huh."
I opened the kitchen drawer and got out my gun and its holster.
"After that, I asked the nice Denarians to let Shiro go."
Susan nodded.
"We ask?"
I flipped open the cylinder on the gun and loaded it.
"I'll say pretty please," I said,
and snapped the cylinder shut again. Susan's eyes flashed.
"Count me in."
She watched me while I put on a shoulder rig and slipped the gun into it.
"Harry," she said, "I don't want to break up the righteous vengeance vibe, but there are a couple of questions that are really bothering me."
"Why do the Denarians want the shroud, and what are they going to do with it?" I said.
"Yeah."
I got an old squall jacket out of my room and slid it on. It felt wrong. I hadn't worn anything but my old canvas duster or the newer leather one Susan had given me for the past several years. I checked the candles, and they had all gone out. I laid my hand on the wall, feeling for the defenses. There was a faint echo of them left, but nothing of substance. So I went back out into the living room and called for a cab.
"We're good to go. I think I've got an idea of what they're doing, but I can't be sure."
She straightened my jacket collar absently.
"Very sloppy of you. Didn't you get the megalomaniacal bragfest from this Nicodemus?"
"He must have read that evil overlord list."
"Sounds like someone who intends to get things done."
He sure as hell had. "He let a couple things slip. I think we can get ahead of him." She shook her head.
"Harry, when I went down there with Shiro, I didn't see much. But I heard their voices through the tunnels. There was..."
She closed her eyes for a moment, her expression one of faint nausea.
"It's hard for me to explain. Their voices gave me a strong impression. Shiro sounded like, I don't know, a trumpet, clear and strong. The other one, his voice stank. It was rotted, corrupt."
I didn't understand what would have made Susan say that. Maybe it was something that the vampires had done to her. Maybe it was something she'd learned between Tai Chi classes. Maybe it was just pure intuition. But I knew what she was talking about. There was a sense to Nicodemus, of something quiet and still and dangerous, of something patient and vile and malicious beyond the scope of mortal understanding. He scared the hell out of me.
"I know what you mean. Nicodemus isn't another misguided idealist or some greedy bastard out to make money," I said. "He's different."
Susan nodded.
"Evil. And he plays hardball."
I wasn't sure if I was asking Susan or myself, but I said,
"You ready?"
She got her jacket on. I went to the door, and she followed.
"The one bad thing about the duster," she mused, "I could never see your butt."
I never noticed.
"If you went around noticing your own ass, I'd worry about you, Harry."
I looked over my shoulder at her, smiling. She smiled back. It didn't last long. Both of our smiles turned a little sad.
"Susan," I said.
She put 2 fingertips to my lips.
"Don't. Damn it, Susan. Last night shouldn't have happened," she said.
Her voice sounded tired, but her eyes stayed steady on mine.
"It doesn't change anything," I finished.
I sounded bitter, even to me. She took her hand away and buttoned up the dark leather jacket.
"Right," I said. I should have stuck to shop talk. I opened the door and looked outside. "Cab's here. Let's get to work."